This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And our guest is Dr. Jeannie Drisco. Dr. Drisco has been involved in the field of integrative medicine for a long time. She's both a clinician and a researcher and a former head of integrative medicine at a major medical school, Kansas University Medical Center. So, Jeannie, before we proceed with our discussion about intravenous vitamin C, I just wanted to let our listeners know that you, too, are a podcaster. And you recently launched a podcast. Can you tell our listeners about it?
It's called The Art and Soul of Healing.
Oh, cool.
The Art and Soul of Healing.
Great.
Because it is an art.
Indeed. and there's a soul to it too. And unfortunately, we've made it kind of a high-tech process where, you know, we've kind of pasteurized it and homogenized it and eliminated some of the soul. Give us an idea of the scope of, you know, who have been some of your guests, what are some of the subjects you touch upon, how can listeners access it?
Well, it is in the usual outlets, and they're on the webpage, theartandsoulofhealing.com. There are the different people that I've interviewed. It's also associated with the Alliance for Natural Health USA website, which is one of our favorite organizations.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way,
one of our favorites.
Full disclosure, we're both on the board of directors of that organization. It's an advocacy organization for all things alternative.
And I am interviewing people that have been authors for a textbook that we're releasing called Integrative and Functional Medicine, Nutrition Therapy, Principle and Practices. So it's, and there's about 50 authors, so I'm going to be busy for at least a year.
And one of the very illustrious authors of a chapter in that book is about to be your guest. Can you tell us about that?
Well, his name is Dr. Ron Hoffman, and he is a polymath and one of the most intelligent people I know.
Great. Okay, and we did a chapter for that on the microbiome. So look for that on the Jeannie Drisco podcast, The Art and Soul of Medicine, right?
Art and Soul of Healing.
Of Healing. Okay. Because let's not restrict it to just medicine, because there are many, many modalities of healing that are, you know, even outside the scope of you know, we consider conventional medicine. Great. All right. Cool. So going forward, the plot thickens because intravenous vitamin C is such a marvelous therapy. It, you know, something that I was introduced to in the 1980s when I was first in practice. I learned about it and, you know, then began to try it on a patients. And I just found it a wonderful, wonderful modality to add to, you know, giving oral vitamins and modifying the diet. And, you know, there have been a lot of pioneers in this field. Dr. Alan Gaby, who, you know, been a guest on this program, introduced the Myers cocktail. Then there's the work that you've done in relationship to cancer. And there are literally hundreds, you know, perhaps thousands of doctors across the country who offer intravenous therapies in their office. But it's getting harder to do. So tell us about what's going on, because you seem to be on top of some of the intrigues here.
Oh, it is an intrigue. So before, when we first started using vitamin C, you could get it from multiple pharmaceutical outlets. One of them was Bionesian Ireland, but there was also American companies that manufactured vitamin C. And then there were pharmaceutical companies that compounded it, made it on site for each individual patient. So that was easy. You had different sources of getting it. And when I first started, it was about $12 a bottle. And In the bottle is 25 grams. So yep. One bottle is 25 grams, and you mixed it in IV fluid and infused it, and life was good.
And the patients if it costs $12, how come an intravenous vitamin C infusion costs $100 or $150 or $200? Look, there's the mixing, the administration, the supervision,
the nurses,
all that stuff. So
yes,
it's going to be a little more expensive, but still, if our material costs were we're lower, you could still economically administer it, and the margin was there to offer it as a service in the office. Okay.
So we're going to fast forward now. Yeah. And in the 2000s, the FDA started looking at the practice of integrative medicine more closely, including delivering intravenous vitamin C. And so people were put on notice that they were going to have to use approved drugs or use approved pharmacies, so on and so forth. And then fast forwarding into the teens, 2015, 2017, there were companies that were supplying intravenous vitamin C in the United States. And one of them started working with the FDA and got a certain status for IV vitamin C made by their company. And then because they worked so closely with the FDA, they were given market exclusivity. Mm-hmm. I've glossed over a lot of the details, yeah. But
I mean, it sounds like a good thing because, why not? If you can't beat them, join them. Let's cooperate with the Food and Drug Administration. Let's meet their exacting standards. Let's produce a quality product that is well vetted in terms of its provenance and its purity and, safeguarding the public from potential contaminants. Okay, great. I mean, that sounds ostensibly like a good idea.
It sounds good, but yeah. The problem was, all of these other companies, not all of them, but the majority of these other companies were doing that. And I would take some of the different products from different companies and send it out because I have the ability to do that, mm-hmm. send it out to have that product analyzed. And I can tell you the majority of products that I analyzed that were available in the United States were of pretty high quality.
So it was a solution to a non-problem.
I mean, it was a solution to a non-problem. And now there's one company in the United States that is allowed by the FDA to sell vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And so the price of vitamin C has gone from a pretty nominal, affordable price up to a very expensive price, up to $150 to $200 a bottle, depending on who's buying it. Now, if you've got a cancer patient, mm-hmm. that's getting 100 grams, that's four bottles of mm-hmm. vitamin C.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
That they're paying two mm-hmm. and three times a week to get. Mm-hmm. They could barely afford the original price.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not covered by insurance because this is not acknowledged to be standard cancer therapy. So it would be, for maybe an affluent cancer patient, it's kind of a luxury treatment. They would have to put cash in the barrelhead to undertake that therapy. And it's not like
farmers.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people that they could barely afford it before. Retired school teachers, farmers, just the salt of the earth people, and they're priced out of a natural therapy now. So it's mm-hmm. wrong.
Mm-hmm. Is there an initiative to open up the marketplace or to kind of crack the monopoly that this company has?
Well, I'm not sure how effective it's going to be because it is FDA law of the land, mm-hmm. but the Alliance for Natural Health, or ANHUSA.org, it does have an initiative where a letter writing campaign to the FDA is underway. So if a consumer is interested in protecting vitamin C access, then they should go to the ANHUSA.org website and take action.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I mean, that's clearly not in the interest of consumers that we're making this kind of a rarefied luxury treatment. It really should go in the other direction towards, you know, legitimization and even insurance coverage if it works. I mean, as it appears to do. So I wanted to go a little bit afield because I'm going to pop a question on you. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to, you know, catch you unawares. But you have kind of a broad perspective on the development of this field. You know, you were a pioneer in this field. You've been involved at a lot of levels as a clinician, academically, in research. You've spent time in Washington advising what's it now called? The complementary,
the consortium.
The consortium, mm-hmm. yeah, within the, mm-hmm. you know, which advises the National Institutes of Health. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. Here goes. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Jeannie Drisco. What do you like and what do you not like about current trends in integrative medicine? I mean, certainly it's catching on. You know, there's so many more practitioners than when we started. Are there some good aspects or some bad aspects?
Well, the unfortunate thing is it's almost becoming more watered down, I believe. There's less of a drive, less educational opportunities for real-world integrative medicine, for what the patients want and what we know through, like, the American College for Advancement of Medicine, what those types of practitioners deliver. It's becoming more watered down. One of the problems is when doctors go to meetings to learn things, they get continuing medical education credits. Mm-hmm. And those credits are overseen by the American College for Graduate Medical Education mm-hmm. or the American College for Continuing Medical Education. And that all comes out of the AMA. It's all right. Affiliated. It's one big happy family. Mm-hmm. And so they can say, well, you cannot give credits for your meeting if you're going to talk about X, Y, and Z, yep. if you're going to talk about chelation, if you're yep. going to talk about IV vitamin C. Yep. So they, you know, they want their meetings to have credits, so they'll water down the meeting. In fact,
lectured at a meeting. In other words, we can talk about, maybe low-carb dieting, or we can talk about, intermittent fasting, since, by the way, that was the subject of a major article in the New England Journal of Medicine in December. So, hey, that could be considered mainstream enough to talk about at an integrated medicine conference if it's in a major medical journal. But, when we got started, we were a band of renegades, and we would get together at meetings, and you remember this very well, and we knew that what we were studying was heresy. And we were a little more beleaguered then because, intravenous vitamin C, chelation, there wasn't that much research. More research, it, paradoxically, more research has emerged to validate these therapies. Mm-hmm. And yet
absolutely,
they seem to be more marginalized than ever before. That's a bit of that's a source of some frustration, I think, to veteran practitioners like you and I.
Well, and I've just seen a tightening, and I don't, you know, they talk about these times of change and where you're changing the old guard, and right before it is ready to open up into a new day, into a new change, they tighten down, they clamp down, they really fight it. And I mm-hmm. think we're in that stage right now. And pretty soon this next generation of doctors is going to say, oh, well, I know about that. That's not abnormal. I think we ought to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. So we're moving into a different day.
Well, there's
it's hard right now.
I think what you're referring to is an element of co-optation, is that, you know, things which were really revolutionary concepts, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, have now moved to center stage. And in fact, a lot of companies are trying to monetize those findings. So, you know, for example, this research on the microbiome, you know, there are companies now that are trying to patent microorganisms that will be therapeutic for various conditions. You know, they're going to sell them as, you know, expensive drugs. Which is
yes, but
good.
It will not work that way. The body, nature does not work that way. And they can't take one or two strains and expect it to work. I mean, I'm preaching to you, the mm-hmm. choir here, mm-hmm. but you mm-hmm. know that.
Yeah.
It's got to be fermented food and, you know, some strains intermittently, but you can't take a strain and make it into a drug. Nature doesn't work that way. What they're trying to do is shoehorn this new medicine that we're promoting into the old medicine model. And it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the patients, the consumers that are going to rise up and just demand, I think, eventually that this change happens. It's not going to come from within the medical centers, I can tell you.
How do you feel about the way the public is reacting to that? Because clearly more and more people are interested in and embrace natural approaches. On the other hand, you know, we're seeing some disturbing trends population-wise. We're seeing the gap between the haves and the have-nots is increasing economically, but also in terms of health-wise. You know, there's the people who are, like, you know, super fastidious about diet. They, you know, shop at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Everything is organic. Everything mm-hmm. is grass-fed. And yet, more and more Americans are dying of degenerative disease. Heart disease is making a comeback. Obesity statistics are going through the roof. The life expectancy of Americans is going down. So it's kind of paradoxical, is that as more awareness develops, and, you know, now with social media, you can look it all up. It's all available at your fingertips. Still, the health of Americans is really in jeopardy.
Well, I think part of it is the problem is the food supply has gotten so much worse. And they, instead of calling it fast food now, it's casual dining. So it's easy for these, for all segments of the American public to go to casual dining locations. It's the hottest trend. The Wall Street Journal has been following this, that there's more investment in these casual dining spots. Mm-hmm. People don't know how to cook anymore. So we've lost connection as Americans. We've lost connection to our roots, to our growing and our understanding of food and animals. And it's really what's happened is we've been, since the 70s, we've really been just sold the bill of goods by big ag, big food, big pharma. I hate to sound like a person that's conspiracy theorist, but it, you know, for the bottom line, we've lost touch with good, healthy choices.
You know, and I think you really epitomized the message in a book that I'm reading right now that might be of interest to you if you haven't yet encountered it. You know, over the holidays, I caught up on a lot of reading, and I picked up a copy of The Way We Eat Now by Cambridge food writer Bea Wilson, who is a food writer. She's also written a book entitled First Bite, which emphasizes the importance of how we introduce children to a wide variety of foods and how we're so not doing that, you know, the way we, you know, feed our kids. And, you know, that's a critical period of introduction. So First Bite talks about that. But The Way We Eat Now is kind of a comprehensive rundown of some of the themes that you've been talking about, which is, you know, we lost the ability to cook and prepare foods. We eat fast foods. And, yeah, you know, we go for, you know, healthy, whatever, Kind bars and things like that. That's supposed to be the essence of goodness. But basically, it's a bar and you chomp on it and, you know, you consume it in about, 90 seconds. And that's supposed to be a meal substitute. It's not really, it's not real food, you know, so.
It's not real food.
Yeah, and so we're marketing health.
We have to get back to that.
We're not really introducing health. We're sort of marketing health, you know. So the same person who, will be drinking bone broth, you know, you might find them at, Taco Bell or the pizza place or, you know, trying out the Impossible Burger another night. And that, you know, ultimately isn't to their benefit.
And you know what's happening, too, you touched on this briefly, is the chronic disease and the obesity epidemic is just rampant, and our current healthcare system is not going to be able to stand up under the weight of that. It's going to be crushed. And I think integrative health is going to be there standing in the gap, and the consumers are looking for us.
Right. And you know, I think that that's really the way it's going to evolve, because a lot of revolutions don't occur, through rational forward thinking and planning. You know, a change occurs when a big crisis develops and a new paradigm has to step into the gap to address the crisis in medical expenses and reduce productivity and, you know, misery. That's the toll of our, you know, lifestyle in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay, great. So, let's mention again, your podcast, because I think there's a lot of value there. I'm going to join you soon to have a conversation. I don't know what, because it'll be your opportunity to interrogate me. we'll turn the tables. So once again, you know, some of the resources, let's talk about the Alliance for Natural Health. Alliance for Natural Health is a place where you can, as a consumer or as a health practitioner, we have a lot of health practitioners, can exert some influence at a governmental level and increase awareness and political action on behalf of, you know, some of the things that the beliefs that we cherish. Also, your podcast, once again,
yes. The Art and Soul of Healing.
And the website is...
The thing about theartandsoulofhealing.com. The thing about... We've lost track of healing, I think, and the art of healing in medical schools in particular. The young students, not just the medical students, but the nursing students and all of the students that are trying to learn how to take care of people, you know, they come into this whole environment thinking that they're going to be the ones that are going to help people heal, and they really want to serve. But within months of getting into the system, they're ground down. This whole effort to really take care of people is really, I think, beaten out of them almost.
I hate to be so descriptive of it,
but they don't learn nutrition. They don't learn about listening to people and taking care of them. They learn how to sit in front of the computer and get through a patient encounter in 7 to 10 minutes. And that is not taking care of people. So that whole system has to change. Medical education has to change. And I think, again, with this crushing chronic disease that's here now, and it's only going to get worse, these students are going to have to learn how to take care of these patients, and they're not learning it now.
Indeed. And that's really, you know, been the theme of our careers, is to, advance some of these alternatives, some of these better solutions that can address America's health ills. So, you know, interesting discussion about intravenous vitamin C. You know, hopefully that'll move in a more accessible direction. And, you know, obviously you'll keep updating us on the latest research as more evidence supports its use in for a variety of conditions. But it's a therapy that you can
access. I'm excited about this bladder cancer study. So I'll be glad to update you on that when the time comes.
It totally makes sense because, you know, when you take the vitamin C, it filters out of the bloodstream. And where does it stay? You know, they talk about why take all these vitamins because it makes very expensive urine. Well, in the case of expensive urine, where does it sit for about an hour or two before you have to empty it out in the bladder? Where the bladder wall may soak up.
In the bladder.
Yeah, where the bladder wall may soak up all the concentrated nutrients, which ultimately may have a beneficial effect on the cells and help to support a recovery from bladder cancer. So, yeah, that totally is a great direction to go in. Jeannie Dursko, thank you very much for joining us. All the best to you.
Oh, Ron, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Time flies when you're having fun. Enjoyed it as well. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.